Welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast, hosted by Dr. Becca Tagg. We support clinicians who have been bitten by the entrepreneurial bug, looking to strengthen their practice to better serve their clients, employees, and themselves.
Hello, and welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Becca Tagg, and this is session 67. Today's going to be a short session talking about our weekly check-ins. Our weekly check-ins is another one of the ways that we sort of take the pulse or get an idea on how our team is doing, and our team as a whole, but also each person individually. I mentioned this briefly in one of the podcast sessions where I talk about our RBT roundtables. And so I'd like to elaborate a little bit more on this intervention. So weekly check-ins are exactly as it sounds. Every person within Del Mar Center for Behavioral Health gets an email every week from someone asking them how they're doing. And we do this for a variety of reasons. A big one is that every person is important. Every person that's been selected to be a member of our team is a member of our team because they bring something to the table that is unique and valuable. And if a person is valuable and important and unique, then I want to be sure they feel that way and that I'm treating them that way. I think you guys have probably seen those quotes that says a person who feels appreciated will do better or do more than the minimum. And so that's a benefit, right, of people feeling appreciated is that they do better work. I think it's also that it aligns with our mission, vision, and values at Del Mar of creating a community within and outside the walls of our organization. And so checking in on each person is a way to remind them that they're important and also see how they're doing and get regular feedback about what's working and what could use improvement. And it's doing it every week, right? Because sometimes if we don't check in on our supervisees or our employees, there might be things happening, but we don't learn about it until our next review, which maybe that's quarterly or monthly, right, at best. And we need that information more quickly because what do we know as behavior analysts? That in order to intervene well, we need to intervene as temporally close to the behavior that's occurring as possible. Okay, so we have two different groups of people that check in on other people. I think I talked a bit about our RBT support committee, and those are two of our advanced standing graduate students. And each of them are assigned a chunk of our RBTs. So they each have a roster of RBTs that they check in with. For us, that limit has been six. So each RBT support committee member can't be responsible for more than six RBTs. So when that number goes up closer, you know, well, anything over 13, 12 or 13, then we add another person into that RBT support committee to be sure that that position isn't overwhelming, right? That being a member of the support committee moves a person towards burnout because yikes, right? That's the exact opposite of what we're wanting to do. So, the RBT support committee has each member has a roster of RBTs that they check in with each week. And they send an email on Fridays asking the person how their week has been and asking them specifically about how their week is going as it relates to work. This is a way to help set that boundary of what we can help with and what we can't help with, right? We're in a work relationship or an employment relationship with people. And while sometimes outside of work stuff can affect work, we don't really have much control over that. And so people are certainly able to share that. And the focus is really on how things are going at work. So they send an email and ask the person to respond. It's not optional, it's required. The responses have to be received by Tuesday at the close of business. And they ask in general, something along the lines of, it's time for our weekly check-in. How are things going this last week as it relates to work? Please assign it to a number 1 to 10, 1 being the worst possible week and 10 being the best possible week. As behavior analysts, we love data, right? And so getting that number each week, we chart it so that we can look for patterns and also really make database decisions on how employees, supervisees, and colleagues are doing. Sometimes we'll include a funny picture, or sometimes, so I'm in charge of doing the ones for BCBAs and our leadership team, so BCBAs, SLPs, counselors, and occupational therapists. And so sometimes I'll put, you know, a silly picture in there, or I'll say, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being getting up in the morning and seeing there's no milk for your coffee, 10 being, you know, your favorite coffee is there, or fresh baked cookies with a cold glass of milk, something like that, to be, I don't know, funny. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. I'm not sure. I think it also helps keep it interesting for me, because I want to be sure that the emails are consistent enough that people know what to expect, but also that they're just a little bit different each week so that people know that they're important and that to not gloss over them. So templates can be helpful, and templates can also get in the way. So I do have a general template I use, but I do modify it a little bit each week. Maybe I add something small that I noticed about the individual. Like, I noticed you had a great session with Mark, way to hang tight during that maladaptive behavior, or something like that. And our RBT support committee does that for other RBTs. So the data comes in and we chart it in a Google sheet, so that we are keeping track on how people are doing. If someone has a rating of 6 or below for 2 weeks in a row, we set up a meeting with that person, and not a meeting about being in trouble, but a check-in. And I don't even think we call meetings. I think we use the language check-in, you know, gosh, how are you doing? I've noticed that the last couple weeks have been a rating at this place. How can we work on that? How can we improve that? Do we need to modify your schedule or your caseload? What's happening, and how can we help make it better as it relates to work? Because again, we don't have as much control about the things outside of work, and we do have control over what's happening in the work environment. And it's important because people are important. Your team is important. And because of the work that we do, we are what facilitates change for those that we serve. So if I'm having a rough week, I would be lying and naive if I didn't acknowledge and own that that negatively impacts my ability to do my job. I think a lot of times we think that we're better at hiding when we're struggling than we are. And we just aren't that slick. And so I think for us as supervisors, and for those of us in leadership positions, if we're checking on our colleagues and our supervisees, we really need to have this information so that we can help support them and make changes as needed for the best outcomes for our kids and adults, whoever it is that we're serving in whatever capacity. So if you're serving kids with autism and one of your supervisees is having a rough time, and she's, let's say she's missing materials, or something's happened at home and she's having a hard time getting to the clinic at 8 a.m., maybe we need to modify her session schedule. And if we don't, her behavior is likely going to decrease. The behaviors we want to see will decrease, right? And that will impact clinical outcomes for the kids that we serve. It also may model poor behaviors for other people in our organization or in the community within the walls of Del Mar. It might negatively impact the relationship with parents or even the pairing process of the RBT and the child she's serving. So this check-in is really important to help us check the pulse, take the temperature about how things are going for each person. It also lets me see when maybe there's something happening across the organization at the organizational level. So if 1 week everybody's ratings are pretty low, I may realize, gosh, something's happening. And maybe we either need to talk about it, or maybe, you know, catering a lunch or bringing in cupcakes or helping the team contact some reinforcement might be warranted. So it can be a really helpful tool to notice patterns for individuals as well as the organization as a whole. I hope that it's also reinforcing for staff to know that somebody's checking in on them each week. They are not a number. They are not not important. They are important. And that this is one of the ways that we do that. And again, it's not just for RBTs, our supervisors, our BCBAs, speech language pathologists, counselors, psychologists. Everybody gets an email every week checking in to see how things are going, what they may need to do their job better, and what might be working really well that we want to be sure not to mess with. I think the other thing that it does for the members of our RBT support committee is it's giving them opportunities to practice leadership while still staying within the scope of their competence, their roles as, again, in our case, they are advanced standing graduate students. And so they are hoping to become BCBAs someday. And so we want to be able to give them appropriate and acceptable opportunities to practice that repertoire of leadership behaviors before they pass the exam. And then all of a sudden it's like, here you go, you're now a leader and a supervisor and good luck with that. I think my supervisees are often probably tired of hearing me say that what gets people stuck is not the items on the task list. It's not the reinforcement or punishment strategies necessarily, or how to write programs for the identified client you're serving. It's how to successfully interact with people and how to manage other people like colleagues and supervisees. Oftentimes what people don't realize is that's still a parallel process of using the principles of behavior analysis, and it's often a little bit less comfortable. And so we need practice with that. And so for us, it's an opportunity to provide another opportunity for supported and scaffolded practice for those hoping to move into leadership positions before they move into like a BCBA position, while also providing check-in support. I call it like a warm touch, right? Which maybe sounds weird, probably does, but it's this idea that like, I'm here and you're important and I see you and I want you to know that I care about what you say so that we can work towards fixing it because you're an important part of this team. We also have a short video that goes along with it that talks about the importance of responding honestly. And we reinforce this idea periodically throughout the year because you can't ask people how they're doing and then punish them if they say it's a 4. And punishment could be that you yell at them or administer some sort of undesirable consequence. But punishment is also if somebody says that they're not doing well, and we don't take any action. And I think that's punishing too. I don't know if you've ever thought about a time when you've shared with somebody that you're struggling and then they're kind of like, okay, and then not helpful. And we don't want to do that either. So be sure that if you're going to implement a process like this, that you're prepared to take action when people need help. Or maybe even they're not indicating they need help, but they lean in and bravely and vulnerably indicate that they're having a tough time at work. So we'll review that video periodically and then also embed information about the importance of responding honestly to those weekly check-ins because we want people to know that that's important. If we're only as good, well, we are only as good as the data that we get. And so we got to be sure that we have contingency set up to make sure that we're getting accurate data and making sure that people know that there's not any undesirable consequence related to giving a negative rating. Now, sometimes people may not want to have those meetings, right? They may not want to talk about what's not going well, and that can be tough. And through regularly talking about difficult stuff and talking about this is a part of our culture and this is important, we know, and I hope that we're setting that expectation that we are going to talk about difficult things. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out discussion. We don't have to bring in anybody necessarily or do any confrontation. It really is a meeting to better understand what their experience is. Oftentimes, it'll be over coffee or dessert, or in a comfortable setting. Of course, it's in private, and it doesn't have to be long, just to check in. How can we help? What can we improve? And then really taking action, swift action, when we can, on what needs to be done. There have been times when people have given low ratings, and at the check-in, what I've learned is that this isn't really the job for them as an RBT, that, you know, they were struggling with the kids and that they just were feeling like it wasn't a good fit. That's important information. It's not necessarily information I wanted to hear. And I was able to learn about it much more quickly than if we were only checking in maybe every 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, annually, quarterly, whatever that is. And I hope, because we've set up those contingencies as such that it's not punishment. Let's talk about it. Everything is about fit. And when things are a good fit, we move forward. And when we're able to move forward, the kids that we serve, the adults that we serve, the community that we serve, gets the best treatment that results in the highest or best clinical outcomes. That's really important. And it's okay for things to not fit. It's okay for schedules to change or needs to change. And while that stinks, sometimes have to rearrange schedules, y'all, that's part of the job, right? I mean, scheduling is kind of the biggest bear. And sometimes people are having a hard time as it relates to work. I think that's important to really emphasize that while I care about you as a person, both inside and outside of work, I really also need to be sure that I have boundaries up that we are talking about as it relates to work, because that I can help affect change on. I'm not so helpful in fixing things outside of work. Again, just a brief discussion about our weekly check-in emails. They go to everybody within the organization. They either come from me, if their person is at the leadership level within our organization, or they come from members of our RBT support committee, which are for us advanced standing graduate students. So it also gives them the opportunity to practice that repertoire of leadership behaviors before becoming, whether it's a BCBA or a psychologist, whatever their end goal is, while also giving us the opportunity to check in with the team and see how they're doing, both as individuals and looking at patterns as a whole. We make sure that people know that there's not going to be undesirable consequences for saying that they're having a tough time, or at least it might be in the moment uncomfortable to have a conversation, and that in the longer run, the outcome is going to be better for them. As an organization, we have to be sure that we are prepared to take action when somebody says that they're having a difficult time with something at work. We have to be open to hearing that and ready to game plan and problem solve to help improve the things that we can for them. The data is charted. It's also only accessible by me and the RBT support committee and our operations manager, so that information is kept, I can't say confidential because it's shared with more than just me, but is on a need to know, not a want to know basis. This process was a slight spin-off of something that I heard Brett DeNovi and his group talk about during a panel discussion. I think it was about KPIs. Not this year's APBA, I think it was last year's. And they had mentioned kind of checking in with their employees. And I realized that we weren't doing that frequently enough. And part of that was because it was just me. And so this was sort of creating these support committees and different committees as a way to take things off my plate, but also to give opportunity to other team members to enhance their skills. That would also then result in people within the organization feeling hopefully more supported and getting more information about how everyone's doing. So a big thank you to Brett DeNovi and his group for sharing what they're doing. And it's also a great example of why continuing education is so important, and really attending a variety of different talks and lectures in person as much as possible, and reading different books and absorbing different information, because our brain is neat, right? It takes information and we may get information and realize, gosh, I can use that in this way, or I can tweak this in this way to help solve whatever problem I'm experiencing, whether we're talking about at the organizational level or personally, professionally. Information is a good thing. So at that note, I want to be sure to end because time is our most valuable resource, because it's so limited. And I appreciate those of you that choose to spend the time with me, Dr. Becca Tagg, here at the Business of Behavior podcast today and ongoing. I'm always open to feedback. Feel free to message me on Facebook or email. send a carrier pigeon, whatever feels most comfortable for you. And I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thanks so much.